Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
John chapter 5, verse 30. And we want to welcome everyone here this morning, especially those who forgot to set their clocks back and came an hour early. Anyone guilty of that? Anyone guilty? There's a few of you. All right. Well, we hope that this doesn't set your Sunday nap schedule behind. You know, it messes it up with it, and you fall asleep during the message today. We hope you can stay awake for that. But, we pray you make it through. And as we were saying earlier in the service, that, you know, with all the camouflage going on, maybe some of you, if you're brand new here, this is your first time, I think, man, this is really weird. Did I walk into a hunting convention, or is this a Duck Dynasty festival? You know, no, it's not. Though we did try to get Uncle Si to come, but he's out looking for his turducken for Thanksgiving, you know, so he couldn't make it this morning. But we are on a week four of a series that we are calling Trapped, and we're looking at the traps that the devil sets up for us. And if you want to take your bulletins out this morning, look on the back of your, or look inside your bulletin, inside your sermon notes, and it says on there that the devil lures us into his traps by believing lies. He feeds us a lie, and if we believe the lie, we're caught in his trap. The only way out of the trap is to reject the lie and to embrace the truth. And so that's what we've been doing the past few weeks. We've been looking at different lies. In week one, we looked at the pleasure trap. In week two, we looked at the power trap. Last week, we talked about the performance trap. If you missed any one of those messages, you can go to our website, casperfaith.com, go to the media page and all of our messages there, and you can get caught up. This morning, we're going to talk about the people trap. The people trap. And if you take a look in your notes this morning, here's the lie behind the people trap. The lie is people's approval is what matters. People's approval, what other people think, their opinion, their feelings about us, that's what matters. And people who are caught up in the people trap, they have a need to rely on other people for their security, for their love, for their acceptance, for their worth, for their value. And the undercurrent of their life, whether they're conscious or unconscious of this, is how do I get other people to like me? How do I get other people to like me? You know, will they embrace me? Will they accept me? And it's how do I please people? How do I make them want me, value me, and say that I'm important? How do I find my approval? And so they live for the approval of others. That's the people trap. And we see the people trap showing up all over in different scenarios. You might see it in someone who's working in a place and, you know, for their boss, they are willing to just negate their priorities of family and spare time and just give everything they have to the company to please the boss so they can get the promotion. It's all about what does the boss think of me? And they really are in a very unhealthy place in their life. We find it at school or at work where people maybe want to fit in, so they laugh at off-color jokes or filthy jokes and or do inappropriate things just so that they're accepted by their peers. We see this when the person says yes to commitments that they really don't want to do. Maybe it's something at school. Maybe it's helping someone out. Maybe it's even doing a ministry in a church. They don't want to do it, but they just can't say no. They can't tell anyone no, and so everything is a yes to their detriment. We can see this commitment in a boyfriend or a girlfriend when they stay with someone that is asking them to compromise their values or maybe is treating them disrespectfully, even to the point of abuse. And it's sad when sometimes our security, our worth is so wrapped up, and it's not just children, it's not just our teenagers, it's not just college students, but it's in 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, prime-timers. Everyone is susceptible to the people trap. How do I get other people to like me? It's at home, it's at work, it's at school, it's in the church. And we think if I adapt my behavior so I please others, then they'll like me. Now, up until this point, as we've been looking at the traps of the devil, we've been looking at people that have really messed up, people that have been an example of someone who was caught. Today, we're going to take a little turn. We're going to look at Jesus, who did a great job of avoiding the trap. Jesus avoided the people trap, and we see this in our text, John chapter 5, verse 30, and I'm going to read it from the New Century Version. This is what it says. Jesus said, "I don't try to please myself, but I try to please the one who sent me." Jesus said, "I am living for an audience of one, and that's God. I'm living to please God and God alone. No one else, no other relationship is more important than my relationship with God. I want to please God solely." People who are caught in the people trap are usually miserable. I have a family member that when they were in high school, they were caught in the people trap. And this person wanted to do whatever it took to be liked. And it worked. They were one of the most popular people in the entire school, but the entire time, they were miserable. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and we're going to take a look at those. We give you four results that really make you miserable, four results of being caught in the people trap. Take a look in your notes this morning. Result number one, if you're caught in the people trap, is that you have a chaotic life. You live a chaotic life if you're caught in the people trap because you change who you are based upon who you're around. You change who you are based upon who you're around. You are a chameleon. You want to try to fit in, and so you're always changing your appearance, changing your behavior, changing your conversation, and you flip back and forth depending on the group of people that you're in. You adjust your values. You adjust your speech and your conduct so that everyone approves them. And it's a very chaotic lifestyle because you're always changing who you are. We are told in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, the fear of man lays a snare. What's a snare? It's a trap. You see, when you fear people, I'm afraid if I don't act a certain way, they're not going to accept me. If I don't do this, then they're not going to like me. The fear of man is a trap. But the person, whoever trusts in the Lord, is safe. When you rely on other people to give you your security, your value, your approval, your worth, you're in a trap. But if you're trusting in God, that God's in charge of my life, I don't have to worry about what happens. I don't have to please my boss. No, you want to have a good work ethic. I'm not saying be lazy, okay? But it's a detriment when you have your priorities all out of whack. And when we live to please people, we're worried and we're not at peace. We have chaos within. Jesus lived the most peaceful life of anyone. Now, that doesn't mean he never had problems, because he had problems. You know what they say? You got problems, I got problems, all God's children got problems. Jesus had problems, but he lived a life of inner peace. There was no chaos. And the reason, I think one reason was because he wasn't modifying his behavior to fit in and be liked. He was the same all the time. When he was around the outcasts of society, he was kind and friendly to them, and it didn't matter who was there, if it was the rich and the popular and the famous, or if they were all alone. Jesus was the same to the outcast. He was nice and friendly and kind. He didn't ignore them when the crowd came around, the in crowd. His conduct and his conversation was the same around the saints, the church crowd, as it was with the sinners. He didn't ignore his Christian friends or his values when he was out in public. I went to school with this one guy who was a Christian, went to my church, but you would have thought I had the plague or I was non-existent when we were in school, because he didn't want to associate with me because he was trying not to look like a Christian, be with a Christian, so he would not have anything to do with me or anyone who was a Christian, because he didn't want the people to know that he loved God. Jesus didn't act different ways around different groups of people. He was consistent, and the result was he had peace. People who live for the approval of others don't have peace. There is worry, fear, they're changing all the time. And if you want a peaceful life, you need to be set free from the people trap. There's a second result of being caught in the people trap. If you take a look in your notes there, and the second result is we can't truly love other people. We cannot truly love other people. Many times, when we're trying to please others, it results in not pleasing God. And I can't properly love someone if I'm disobeying God. Love, write this in your notes. I don't think this is in your notes. Love does what is best for someone else. Love does what is best for someone else. And that's a misconception. We have a lot of times we think, well, love makes another person feel good. Let me ask you this. If your little child is playing near they crawl into the kitchen, you've got a toddler, and you open the stove to take out maybe a lasagna you're making or cookies like that, and your little child wants to touch the hot oven lid that's open, the oven door, do you let them? Why not? They want to do that. If you stop them, what do? You know, they throw a tantrum. They don't feel good. The reason you stop the child is because you know if you let them do what they want to do, it will hurt them. And yet sometimes in life, it's like we don't realize the things people want to do are touching the hot oven door and they will burn themselves. And so we just, at the last, we just, you know, hey, go ahead, do what you want. That's not real love. And a person in the people trap, because I want people to like me and I want them to feel good, then it's really hard to tell them no. It's hard to stand up against them and do what's best for them if it makes them feel bad. And here's the thing about love. You can't really love someone and do what's best for them if you're giving in to them all the time. Do you want to have real closeness, real intimacy in your life? Then you've got to get out of the people trap. You've got to get out of the people trap. And look at number three. This is very close related. The third result of being caught in the people trap, not only can we not truly love others, but other people can't truly love us. They can't love us. Why? Because when I am pleasing others, I'm not being real. I'm not being genuine. And I'm really being a lie. I'm living a lie, and so they don't know the real me. And if people don't know who I really am, they can't love the real me. They can't truly love me. They love the image of me of who they think they am, but if they really knew who I was, they may not love me. And so many times, people give up real, genuine love in their lives because they want to be accepted and liked, and yet it leaves them empty and hollow, because even though they're liked, they know it's not real. Because they're just portraying an image, and people have fallen in love with the image, but they don't love the real person. And here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus was genuinely loved. And he wasn't changing who he was. He was loved. The ladies who came to the cross, they went with his ministry, they supported him, and they followed him. They're at the cross. John the disciple, he's at the cross, and Jesus is hanging there, and he's saying, John, take care of my mother Mary. And John says, you've got it. From this time out, I'm taking her. It says, from that day, John took Mary to his house, and John the disciple took care of Mary. Friends, that's love. That's a commitment. You take a look in the book of Acts, the disciples, they are willing to be beaten and bloodied, persecuted, even to the point of death for Jesus. That's love, and the reason is because Jesus was real. He was genuine. When you're real and genuine, people are going to be committed to you like you can't believe. But if you're living a lie, people really can't truly love you. Love is based upon trust and honesty, and if you're not true and honest with who you are, they can't truly love you. The fourth result, let's take a look at result number four of the people trap, is we struggle in choosing right from wrong. If we're caught in the people trap, we will struggle with choosing right from wrong. When we live for the affirmation, the accolades, the approval of others, then it's difficult to choose right from wrong because we don't want to hurt other people. We need them to like us. We want to be accepted, and we're apt to do what they want, even if it means doing something that is immoral, illegal, unscriptural, or just flat out wrong. And that's a danger. Pontius Pilate was stuck in this trap. You can read about it in Mark chapter 15. The people came to him saying, let Jesus go free. And he feels that his security, his position is based upon if the people like him. And this is what he does. It says, the people cried out, crucify him, referring to Jesus. Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, you could write in there, people please. Pilate, wanting to people please, gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he scourged him to be crucified. You know, you think about it, but the people trap led to Jesus dying. Now, yes, it was God's will, but that is the danger. Pilate knows Christ is an innocent man, deserving no punishment, and he is so caught in the people trap, I'm going to let an innocent person be murdered so that I can be liked by other people. You talk about a trap that will ruin your life. And that's what Pilate was caught. He's caught in the people trap. And yet, you know, Jesus wasn't caught in that trap. I mean, he was the same. He didn't care what other people thought. He was willing to throw the money changers out of the temple because it was wrong how they were cheating and stealing from the people. Jesus was willing to associate with sinners because God loved them as much as he loved anyone else. Jesus always did what was right, no matter the cost. But if we're caught in the people trap, man, you know, if it means me doing the right thing is going to cost me the approval of others, we're going to choose the wrong and shun the right. We're going to struggle with choosing right and wrong in our life. Those are the four results of the people trap. And that's why it leads to a miserable life, because you have a guilty conscience. You don't feel genuinely loved. You really don't love others genuinely. And you're just, life is in chaos. Friends, the people trap isn't worth it. It's not worth it. So what is the truth? How do we get set free from the people trap? The lie is that people's approval matters most. Take a look at your notes. The truth is God's approval is what matters most. God's approval is what matters most. And that's what Jesus lived for. That was our verse, John 5:30. I try to please the one who sent me. He's the one I'm living for. His approval, his affirmation, his commendation is more important than what anyone else thinks, says, or does to me. If in life, if we only please our Creator, we're a success. That's the only one we have to please. And you know what? That simplifies life enormously. Because if you have, you know, Joe over here who wants you to do this, and John over here who wants you to do that, and you're trying to please them both, but Joe and John are on complete polar opposites, doesn't that make life tough? Now who are you going to please? Well, when I'm with Joe, I'm going to do what Joe wants. And when I'm with John, I'm going to do what John wants. And I'm going to keep going back and forth. But when you say, I don't care what Joe, John, Jane, or Jim want, it's Jesus, that makes your life easy. Living for the approval of Christ. You maybe have never realized this, but people-pleasing is a form of idolatry. It's a form of idolatry. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments is, do not have any other gods before me. So anything we put before God is an idol. Your boat may be an idol. Your golf game may be an idol. You know, your girlfriend, your boyfriend could be an idol. If you're putting anyone or anything ahead of God, it's an idol. The second commandment is don't make idols. Anything that replaces God in your life, success can be an idol. Money can be an idol. It can be another god. Your husband or wife, if they're more important to you, or your boss is, or if they're more important to you than God, your boss is more important than God, a friend is more important than God, and what God wants and his ways in your life, you have an idol. And that's why people pleasing is so dangerous, is we are really worshiping another god if we're caught in the people trap. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Paul said, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Did you just catch what Paul said? If I was not, if I was trying to please other people, I wouldn't be a servant of God. Do you want to be a servant of God? If so, then we need to be a people that says, I'm going to live for an audience of one, and my life is about pleasing God. What does God think about you? I want to ask this because it's so easy to live for what do people think about me? Do they like me? Do they think I'm cool? Do they think I'm doing a good job? You know, my nephew was here this week, and they came for my daughter's state swim meet. And, you know, what if someone comes up to you and says, I'm cooler than you? What do you say back to them? Well, does that mean that I'm hotter than you? You see, there's always people that are going to try to one-up you and make you feel better. And so you try to please them, you try to gain, and you try to make yourself look good. But it doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God thinks. And what does God think about you? How much does he care about you? What kind of worth does he put on you? I want to share with you what Romans chapter 8 says in verse 29 to 39 in the Message version. It says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son, and that's Jesus, stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. So we see God's shape for our lives in Christ. And what did Jesus say? I'm living not to please myself or others. I'm living to please him. That's God's design for us. It goes on to say in verse 30, after God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. Have you ever been around someone and they just say, hey, you? They don't know who you are. You know, what would it be like if the President of the United States or John Barrasso, you know, some important person, hey, we're all important to God, okay? But if some important person comes in and they call you by name, it's like, oh man, you know, they know me by name. God calls you by name. He knows your name. It's not like, who is that guy? Fred? Jim? No, that's Sam. I know Sam. He knows you by name. That's how important you are to him. It says, after he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. Do you realize Jesus is staying with us to the end? He's never going to walk out on you. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one, but none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. What does God think of you? You are valued. You are important. You are His friend. He knows you by name. He's sticking with you to the very end. And with a God like that, He's the one I want to please. Because that brings security. Doesn't bring no problems. Jesus went to the cross, but it brings security. It brings peace. It brings genuine love. It brings genuine joy. And that's the glory of being set free from the people trap.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.